Thank you, Laura, and...
It's not working. There we go. Great challenge to follow, and as Laura mentioned, we are at the end of our red letter challenge. It's been a long journey. We started off with the challenge of being in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, and how important that is to receive from Him what we need. After that, we talked about forgiving and how Christ forgives us, and we are commanded to forgive one another. Just as much as we've been forgiven from God, we are to forgive. After that, serving. We had a great day of service. Hundreds of people from our community went out into the community to serve. You don't need a day of service to do that. You don't need to have quite the organization we did, although it was great, to serve. You can find little ways to serve each and every day in your own way. And then last week we talked about giving. God has given us everything that we have and everything that we need and calls us to give out to others. And today the challenge is going. So this one's real simple. Everyone stand up and leave. And it's the shortest sermon ever. No, we don't want you to stay. I was thinking about the red letter challenge and wondering, why would we as a congregation take on a challenge like this? Why do the red letter challenge? Beyond that, why do we take on challenges at all? Challenges are challenging, right? I mean, sometimes we like a good challenge, but if I'm honest, I'd rather just have the easy way. I'd rather things just be easy and not face any sort of challenge, right? Just let me go and do what I need to do. Yet challenges come our way and we take on certain challenges. So why do we do that? How many of you have taken on a challenge with a heart full of gold? You're like, this is it. I'm going to do this thing. And you have a foolproof plan. You realize that nothing can fail. Nothing can stop me now. And then you can dream. I know what it's going to look like when I'm done, right? I can picture myself on the podium or crossing the finish line or at the end of this thing, only to give up halfway through. How many of you have done this, right? You start off ready to go and just don't quite get there. Or perhaps maybe you get to the end. You succeed at the challenge, but when you cross the finish line, it doesn't feel the same way you thought it was going to feel. That was me last night when I finished my entire hibachi dinner in one sitting. That was way too much food, too much of a challenge to take on. I didn't feel so good after that. It was tasty, but ugh, I paid for it. Or, and this is probably more of the case for me, how many of us set out and just actually never quite take the first step? We make the plans, we have the dreams, but we just can't get our foot to move. I've had more of those than I've had victories. Now, there are moments in my life in which I set out to do something, and I did it, and I feel good about it. I graduated kindergarten. Big accomplishment. I feel really proud about that one. It was a tough sell, but I made it happen. A couple of years ago, I finished my first half marathon. I felt pretty good. I crossed the finish line. I was pretty proud of myself. I got married and stayed that way to the girl who caught my eye in college. That one's a good one, right? That was only half on me, though. She had to say yes and then stick with me, so I'm thankful that she's doing that, right? And there's a few others in my life. I know I've kind of taken on the challenge and succeeded, but, you know, I could probably count those on my hands. If I count my failures, the times when I set out to do something and then didn't do it, I would probably need all of your hands to help me keep count of all those times. And maybe you're the same. Yet we take on challenges. It's what we do for a variety of reasons. Sometimes we take on a challenge just to prove to ourselves that we can. Or to prove to someone else that I can do this. Nothing can stop me. I got this. Or perhaps something deep within you just compels you to move. You don't know why you're doing it, but this is just something I have to do. I have to take on this challenge. Or maybe it's simply to better yourself. Right? To become faster, stronger, or better at something you're already doing. Or sometimes, you simply have no choice. A challenge is presented before you. And perhaps there's an illness, or there's something related to your job, or a relationship, and you didn't ask for it, but it's here, and now you have no choice but to kind of dive in. We accept challenges for all sorts of different reasons. Some of you accepted the red letter challenge. If you did that, if you accepted the red letter challenge, did you ever stop to think about why you did that? Or, if you didn't accept the red letter challenge, did you stop to think about why you didn't? Or, if you accepted the red letter challenge and then failed or stopped along the way, did you stop to consider why you didn't stick with it? I think the answers to those questions are important for you to answer and to think about. And on some level, they matter. But on another, it doesn't. It doesn't matter how you answer that question because, well, the challenge is almost over. But it's not that it doesn't matter at all. Because tomorrow is a new day, or next week is a new opportunity for another challenge for you to take on. And besides, if we think about the red letter challenge, which, by the way, aimed to help you walk and live and believe the words and promises of Jesus Christ, just because this series at Emmanuel is coming to a completion doesn't mean that the challenge itself is over. In fact, if you have been marked with the sign of the cross on your forehead and on your heart, just like Dino was this morning, if you have been sealed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in your baptism, then the challenge that we've been taking on this past few weeks is an ongoing challenge for you. It never ends. It's a new challenge for you each and every day. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. We actually heard these as part of our baptismal rite. Jesus comes to his disciples and says, "Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe everything I've commanded you." That's the challenge that is before us as God's people that never goes away. But why should we listen to Jesus' command? Who is he to tell us what to do? Well, the verse right before this one, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And now, as the one who sits in that seat, I tell you to go and make disciples and baptize and teach. He gives us that challenge along with other challenges. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's pretty challenging. Love your neighbor as yourself. Perhaps even more. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and make your life difficult. Talk about a challenge there. Feed the hungry. Care for the homeless. Watch out for the orphan and the widow. Care for those who are on the margins. Reach out to them in love. How are we doing with those challenges? Not very well. But I don't want you to get hung up on how well or how poorly you're doing with those challenges, because we all know there is room for improvement. All of us can make strides and take another step to get better and better. And besides, that's not quite the point. And besides, these challenges aren't given to you necessarily as an individual. These challenges are given to us as one body of Christ. Christ issues this command to all of us. And so we have a responsibility to hold each other accountable to these challenges, but also to encourage each other as we see each other fulfilling what God has called us to do. But even beyond that, not only do we have each other, we have the greatest helper of all. As Christ ascended into heaven, he promised, "I will send you the helper, the Holy Spirit." You have the Holy Spirit living in you, the Holy Spirit which gives you power to believe the words and promises of Christ, which draws your heart away from yourself or other things and turns you toward God. The Holy Spirit gives you power to take the commands of Jesus Christ and fulfill them, for he is living in you and accomplishing so much through you. so that we don't turn inward, but rather we look outward. You see, putting the words and the practices of Jesus into place isn't really about you at all. And nor do they really happen for your benefit. God gives us these challenges not so that you can earn your way into heaven. We know we are saved by grace through faith, not through works. And so these challenges are not for you to earn awards or a place. That's a gift. Rather, we take on the challenge Jesus presents to us for the benefit of others, for those who need our help, for those who are alone, for those who do not know the love they have in Jesus Christ. So we take on challenges, and when we do, we assume a certain amount of risk when we do so. Every challenge comes with some risk. What or whom is at risk if we do not accept the challenge Jesus gives to us? Before we dive into that answer, I want you to know, and it's important to know this, that God doesn't ask you to do anything that he isn't willing or hasn't already done himself. When Jesus came and began his ministry, there was a story in which he went out and had dinner with Matthew, a tax collector, soon-to-be disciple. And tax collectors were not the most favorite people of all. And so Jesus' critics come to him and say, "Why are you hanging out with those people? Don't you know who they are? These are tax collectors and sinners." And Jesus replied, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but rather the sick." Jesus says, "I have not come to spend time with righteous people, but I've come to call sinners to repentance." And as followers of Jesus, we are called to do the same thing. Because it's the eternal lives of friends, of neighbors, of family members. It's the eternal lives of those whose hearts are hardened toward God, people we care about, who need you to share your faith with them, who needs to hear from you how much God has done for you, so that prayerfully they might hear and believe and be healed as well. And that can be a hard thing. It can be a challenge to share our faith. It's rare, I find these days, that you'll ever run into someone who actually has never heard of Jesus. These days, everyone has at least heard the name before, and they have formed some sort of opinion about him. And if they don't believe, then either they are apathetic toward him, "I just don't care," or they reject him outright, "I want nothing to do with him." This can be a challenge, but either of those is the same. For Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And so prayerfully, it's love. Love that you have for that friend, for that neighbor, for that family member, that compels you, deep within you, to share your faith with them so that they might have the riches that you have. And I know that's hard. It's hard to share our faith, especially with people we care about, because we're afraid of what might happen. What if my brother refuses to listen to me? What if my friend hears what I have to say, but our conversation alters our relationship altogether? What if it goes beyond just a change in our relationship? What if by sharing my faith, it actually drives a wedge between us? And our relationship is severed, and it falls apart. I don't want to sugarcoat it. All of those things are possible. All of those things have happened to people who have shared their faith, and they might happen to you as you share yours. It's a real possibility. But there is something greater at risk than your relationship with that person if you don't take on the challenge, if you don't share your faith. And as I said, this doesn't come easy. This isn't a natural kind of thing for us to do. And you can be encouraged because many heroes in the Bible are in the same boat that we are. They had a command and a challenge from God, and they they weren't quite sure they were up to the task. The first one we'll highlight is our friend Moses. You know that Moses was commanded by God to go and rescue his people out of slavery in Egypt. Go and speak to Pharaoh and demand that he let your people go. And Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to me. I am slow in speech and tongue." In other words, I don't speak good. Moses was afraid. But God said, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." And we recall the Great Commission, where Jesus commands us to go and make disciples and baptize and teach. And immediately after he gives that command, he follows it with a promise. "Behold, I will be with you to the very end of the age." And our good friend Jeremiah, one of the major prophets in the Bible, the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. I knew the challenges you would face. But even before you were born, I set you apart. And I've appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." And Jeremiah says, "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. I don't have experience. This isn't going to be easy. But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you.' And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth and said to him, 'I have put my words in your mouth.'" Moses' story and the disciples' story and Jeremiah's story is your story. We are all called to share our faith with as many people as we can. And it may not be standing here in front of a crowd of hundreds and proclaiming the good news. Perhaps for most of you, it's going to be that one person who needs a friend, who needs hope, who needs faith, who needs to see that there's someone who loves them unconditionally. And maybe they'll see that through you. And as you do that, you are not alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have God's word coming out of you. You have been equipped with God's own word. God's words are not empty. They accomplish precisely what he wants them to accomplish. And so we also don't have to be afraid whether they believe or not. Let God take care of that. You simply share what you know and what you believe. For the word that we share is Christ himself. And remember, Christ does not ask you to do anything or accept any challenge or endure any hardship or assume any risk, even your reputation or your very life, that he wasn't willing to take on himself. For he faced all of those things, and he's overcome on our behalf. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." And then pay attention to this: "Who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross." The joy set before Jesus, the goal of his challenge, was you. The joy of Jesus is you and your life with him forever. And it's the lives of everyone else who does not yet know him. And his love for them was so great that he was willing to endure the cross. Even consider that a joy. For he knew that you were waiting on the other side. And so, in other words, as followers of Christ, you are called to face challenges. Perhaps you are called to run into the storm as opposed to away from it. and to consider hardship because of your faith a reason for rejoicing. You are called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, even if your reputation, even if your very life is at risk. For the one who has authority over all things has given us this promise. In this world, you will face trouble. But don't be afraid. I have overcome the world, and I am with you, and I fight for you, and I speak through you. So as you go, and as you share, and as you love, let your faith be in the one who has overcome, as he guides you and keeps you and holds you in his loving and capable arms, as you share what you know with those who need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand and pray with me.